Psalms 119, I think we're in verse 105. Psalms 119 at verse 105. I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then we'll get into our study. Father, you've been very good to us. You're always good to us. Lord, I'm thankful that you are better to us than we ever deserve. And I pray that you would use this message tonight to encourage us, help us in a walk, and help me with preaching and teaching it. Keep a hedge around us. Keep us safe. In Jesus, your precious name, we pray. Amen. So the book of Psalms 119 is a wonderful book. It's the longest book of the Bible. And every single word in here is the very words of God. But almost every single verse, other than I think it's three verses, in those three verses we have seen already, verse 84, 90, and 91, has something about God's word in it. Precepts, judgments, commandments. And you'll see that in verse 105 down to verse 12. You'll see statues. There's something that's there. This chapter is to remind us about God's word, how important it is. And I do not believe it's a coincidence that it's the longest chapter in the Bible. You and I need to know how important this Word of God is. So as we continue our study here in verse 105 to 106, the Bible says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments." Here it is. The psalmist is describing God's word, and he describes it and it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." And you think about a lamp, and then he says, "A light unto my path." You think about a light or a lamp, the purpose of that, right? You have a light that will shine down on your path, they'll show you the direction to go. You think about when it's at nighttime, you may have a flashlight and or a light that you turn on because it's dark out and you don't know which direction to go. And you turn on that light or you have that flashlight, and that flashlight will show you there's the bed, there's the chair. And if you didn't have that light, you could put your hands out and try to define what's there, and you may not notice that the child left Lego on the floor. You stepped on it, and boy, what pain that is to step on something like that. Or the dog is sleeping in front of you, and you trip over the dog, and you fall. So you think about the importance of a light to be able to see. Right? To be able to see, to be able to look and say if something is dark, to be able to shine a light on it or to show you the path to go. And David is describing God's word. It says a lamp unto my feet, right? God's word is kind of like David is saying God's word in that path will show you which direction to go. God always wants us to go straight forward. God doesn't want us to go back, right? You always see that. He wants us to go forward for Him, amen? He doesn't want us to go back as in being backslidden, right? But to move forward. And it's a light, right? It shows us. It shows us if there's something as an obstacle that's going to be in our way that will make us fall and trip or stumble or a hole that we could fall into, right? He'll tell us if there's something out there as an enemy to stay away, right? And that's how he's describing God's word. And here it is, David made a vow, he's sworn to keep God's word. Now, David wasn't perfect. You go through the Bible, and the reality is, if David would have wrote these chapters about himself, the chances are he probably wouldn't have put it in there. You think about yourself, if you were writing a story about yourself, would you tell about one of the worst experiences or the dumbest things you have ever done? Would you explain, would you write something about committing adultery and ultimately you are the one that gave your word that the army would pull back and someone would die? The reality is, most of us probably wouldn't write that. Well, this is the very words of God. God wrote it that we could understand. But here it is. David made a vow. He sworn that he's going to keep God's word. I'm sorry. I have sworn and I will perform it, and I will keep thy righteous judgments. Here it is. God, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, told David what to write. And he called God's judgment, his word, righteous. Righteous. This Bible, when you think about God's commands, God is righteous. God tells us what's right. God will tell us what's wrong. There's no in between. There's no, you know, God says, thou shalt not kill. God tells us, thou shalt not commit adultery. The Bible tells us not to commit fornication. And he tells us how homosexuality, bestiality, all those things are wicked, right? Folks, can I tell you, we can look at the scripture and we know it. God's word is righteous because God is holy, because God is just. I'm thankful, and you think about it, you have the very words of God. We can know, because God said so. There's a movie out there, I may not like the music in it, but there's a movie out there, it's called Time Changer. If you've ever watched Time Changer, it's a pretty interesting movie. But the gist of the movie is, if you don't want to hear the gist of it, you may want to cover your ears here for 2 minutes. But the gist of the movie is this, if you take God out of morals, then the reality is morals can always change, right? In that movie, there was a boy, I think he was stealing or taking something, and that the man told him, you know, you shouldn't steal. And the little boy, if I remember correctly, was like, why? Who said so? Right? And the man said, but God said so. God said, thou shalt not steal. See, what makes stealing wrong is it's not society, it's God. God is the one that said, thou shalt not steal. See, and when you take God away from that, then what do you have? You have people that can justify stealing from you. You know what that's called? The government. Amen. So, but anyway, that was my free joke. But anyway, you think about taking from someone else. That's socialism, right? Taking from you, you know. There's others that will justify stealing from you. Do you imagine in America, and this happened, when there were riots that were going on, that people were justifying people breaking into stores, stealing from them, and saying, well, it's because they were poor, because they have some problems, and, you know, they've been oppressed. They have rights to steal. They have no right to take from that. God said, thou shalt not steal. And I don't care what politician says it's right, it's not right. Amen? Well, I tell you, one day, it would be a blessing. Amen? They bolt out those politicians and get some people that be good statesmen that feared God. But what makes it right? Because God said so. Thy righteous judgments. Always realize this is not just man's word. This is the very words of God. And here it is because it's the very words of God. That's what David was saying. David is saying he will perform. Where are we at? Down here. And I will perform it. Amen. He's sworn. He made a vow. Oh, can that? Hopefully that's our desire as Christians. That we would see the Bible as the very words of God. That we would put it in our heart to say, I want to follow Him. Amen? We've been telling Oriana lately, well, I think we've told her before, this world that we live in is just getting worse. I mean, you think about those that have some years under you. When you look at what's going on today compared to when you were a child, I mean, this world is getting worse. And we've been telling her and saying, you know, you need to be strong in the Scripture and know the very words of God and rely on God. Because if God tarries, I can't imagine the world when she's older. When she's 50 years old, if God tarries, what this world is going to be like in America's society, the direction we're going, unless there is a revival and something happens. I mean, do you think about it, growing up in your lifetime, and you think about that there would be in America that people would be openly out as homosexual, be able to be married, and ultimately you as a Christian, remember that lady that was in Kentucky? She went to prison over it because she said that's not right. And she didn't want to give them a marriage certificate. Can you imagine that? Do you imagine when you were growing up that I would have told you that there potential could be a state that would say that they could take your child, if that child says they're confused and they want to be a boy or want to be a girl, that someone that could say they're their guardian, take them to that state to help them to get whatever surgery. I don't know if that bill will pass in California or not. Folks, can I tell you, we live in a sick world. Do you imagine when you were growing up that there would be teachers that are teaching kids that when they found out that they're pregnant, they'll say, we'll make sure that no one knows and they'll take them to a place to get an abortion to murder their child. Or those teachers will train their kids to tell, or the kids, your own kids, and won't tell you when that kid is confused and saying that they want to be a boy or girl, and the teacher will call them by their quote-unquote preferred pronoun, preferred name, whatever it is, and they won't tell you. That's the society that we live in today. Folks, when I tell you, you may say, what is right? Well, here it is, what's in this book. Amen? Folks, can I tell you, here is David is speaking of these things. Look what the Bible says in verse 107 and verse 108. I am afflicted very much. Now, that word afflicted means troubled, hardship, suffering. Look how he described himself. I am afflicted very much. He is troubled very much. He's in hardship a lot. He's in a lot of suffering. It's after he says that the God's word is the righteous judgment. He makes a vow to keep God's word. He says that your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And he says, I'm going to keep it. And then he says in verse 7, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the free will offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. Here it is. Affliction, being afflicted, can be a result of sin. But also being afflicted can be a result of chastening. But lastly, which I believe is what David is referring to here, being afflicted from the world is a result of you living for God. David was trying to live for God. David was trying to allow God to lead and guide him. And what was it? I am afflicted very much. Can I tell you, this world hates Jesus Christ? Can I tell you, this world hates this Bible? Amen? Hates this Bible. If folks, I want you to understand, if people allowed politicians, some of these politicians that we have, and we would allow them to do whatever they wanted, not all, praise the Lord, amen. That's why it's best to pray and ask God to put in the best politician, the least of the two evils sometimes, that's what I think about. But anyway, they would get rid of this book. They were outlawed. Can I tell you, there are people in other countries see this book as hate speech? That people would quote the scripture? And what is it? That is hate speech. They will put you in prison. Folks, I want you to understand what is happening overseas is in time will come here. There are people that want to have that in America. There are people... You think about it, we have a First Amendment right. Thank God for our forefathers, that God has blessed us and gave us forefathers. That you have a right to say things. Yes, there's consequences for things that you could say. But they want to get to the place where you can't quote this scripture. That you can't go against what they believe. Here is, David is saying, I am afflicted very much. Because he's willing to stand up for God. He's willing to say, hey, this is right. And that's wrong. That they afflicted him. Folks, I want you to understand, when you take a stand for Jesus Christ, you will be afflicted. There's going to be people that will mock you. There will be people who will make fun of you. There will be people in day and age that will shoot at you. Amen? And folks, can I tell you, we live in some crazy times. The Bible tells us, it says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You'll find that in 2 Timothy 3:12. Shall suffer persecution. You know why that is? Because you're standing up and saying, hey, this is right, and you'll be persecuted. We have left a society that was a godly nation. We have left that. Our society surely is not a godly nation. We are a very ungodly nation. And folks, I want you to understand, when you take a stand, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised when you tell people that Jesus is the only way to heaven, that they get mad at you. Don't be surprised when you say that a woman marries a man that you say that is not right, that you get persecuted. Don't be surprised when you tell someone and say, hey, a boy is only a boy and a girl is a girl. Don't be surprised that you get persecuted. But you realize why you got that. Because this Bible says that's so. Amen? Folks, don't be surprised when you are afflicted. Look what the Bible says over here to the book of Philippians. In Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. In Philippians chapter 1. In Philippians chapter 1. In Philippians chapter 1. Now, please don't misunderstand. I don't know everything that man that recently got shot believed, right? So I don't know everything, right? But one thing I do know is he tried to tell young people that wait until marriage. He would tell that. He would tell the college kids. He would tell it to the young people. He'd tell them, wait to marriage, right? Don't commit fornication. Wait until you're married. Who cares what the culture says and what others say? Wait until you get married. And you know, they hated him for that. I don't know everything else that he believed, right? There sound like a lot of things that he believed. It sounded like he was a believer. But they hated. Why would that be so? Because of what this book teaches, amen? That they hate godliness, amen? Or godliness. Look here in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, starting at verse 27. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation, as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. He was trying to encourage these believers, amen, to have that unity. He wasn't telling them to compromise God's word, but he was saying, hey, believe the same thing, amen, and stand behind it. But look what he says, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. When you take a stand and stand for God's word, don't be surprised that there will be adversaries, people that will try to stop you. Look what he says, which is to them an evident token of perdition. You know why they're against you and me as Christians that will stand up? Because we are a child of God and they're a child of the devil. That's what he's saying. It's evident, right? When you see all these protests that are happening and they're trying to stop people from doing what's right, it's an evident token. There's the proof, right? If they would just look at their life. I thought it was ironic, if you want to use that word. Someone said that, you know, they hated that man so much. You know, what was his name?
Charlie Kirk.
They hated him so much. You know, they said his words was hate speech. And again, I don't know everything the man believed, right? I just know some things, you know. Hate speech. But isn't it ironic that he didn't kill them, but someone killed him? Isn't that the definition of hate is what they did? But they were saying he's hate. And the reality is, if they would just look, right? If that young man would just look at his life, it's an evident token, amen, of perdition. He's lost. Here it is. It's a reminder to us, hey, don't be surprised when you stand up for righteousness that you have people going against you. Don't be terrified. They're your adversaries. They're going against you because they don't know God. They're of the devil. That's what he's saying here. But to you of salvation and that of God. For it, look at this. For unto you is given in behalf of Christ. Mark, this is what you have to look forward to on this earth because you accepted Christ as your Savior. Not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Why is that? Because He's righteous, you believe on Him. You're going to suffer because of that. Amen? There you go. That's what it is. It's not you they hate, Mark. Well, some people they may, but it's because of Jesus Christ. Always realize that people are going to hate you. It's not you, but it's Him. Amen? Look back here to the book of Psalms. In Psalms 109. Psalms 119. Psalms 119. Psalms 119, back to verse 107 and 108. Look what David did, though. In Psalms 119, verse 107 and verse 08, I am afflicted very much. He's being persecuted. He's suffering. He's going through this hardship. He says, quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgment. How did David handle the persecution, the affliction that he went through? He allowed it to draw him closer to the Lord. Quicken me. Encourage me. Make me alive, right? Lord, teach me your word that I can learn from it. What else? Allow me to offer this sacrifice to you of my mouth. David did not allow the persecution to get him to stop. No, the persecution drove him closer to God. It did the exact opposite of what the adversaries wanted. Folks, can I tell you, isn't it amazing? You know, this world does not get it because they don't know God. They believe that if they persecute you, they mock you, that you're going to stop. But the reality is because you love God and you want to please the Lord, it's going to draw you closer to Him and make you pray for them more. They don't get that, amen? And here it is. That's what David did. David allowed the persecution that he suffered to draw him closer to the Lord. You know what's amazing? When you go through this Bible and you read this Bible, in the book of Acts, what you'll find is as soon as they start to persecute the church, do you know what happened? The church grew. God blessed. There was a time there was persecution that had scattered their believers. And as they were scattered out, you know what they did? They preached. They went to other regions. Look here at the book of Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, just as one example. In Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, in Acts chapter 4, in verse 1, and as they spake unto the people, the priests, the captains of the temple, and the Sadducees came unto them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold to the next day, for it is now even time. Persecution was happening to the church. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Can't you see why the devil tried to prevent them by bringing things? Because there were people getting saved. Amen? Did it stop them? No. The apostles continued on. And you think about today, you think about how Christianity expands. Now, as in history, and what we could see is it seems like it's going down because people are rejecting Jesus Christ. Amen. But what do we see? The persecution made it grow. Amen. Look at what the Bible says back here to the book of Psalms. Psalms 119. Should have told you to keep your finger there. Psalms 119. As we go back here to verse 109. Persecution caused David to grow, caused the church to grow. Why? Because they didn't compromise. They just continued on. And look what the Bible says here in Psalms 119, verse 9. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. This wasn't an easy time for David. David's life was at risk. But he didn't run away from God's word. He realized it was right. He looked to God. It says, verse 110. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I dared not from my precepts. He was still surrendered. He surrendered to God. He's suffering these things. He's saying they put like a snare. There was a trap that was here that I would fall in. But Lord, I'm still keeping your word. There's this constant attack that I have. But Lord, I'm still in your word. Amen. I will not forget thy law. David allowed the persecution. He stayed surrendered. Please don't misunderstand. I don't know about you. But I don't like being persecuted. I don't. I don't like to be made fun of. I don't like to be mocked, right? My beliefs. I don't like people running me down. I don't like that, right? And the reality is, if I'm not in the Spirit or stay in the Spirit, I may end up saying something, Mark, that I shouldn't say, right? And that would be their goal. David stayed surrendered. The best thing that you could do when you're facing persecution, being mocked, made fun of for your beliefs, is don't get out of the Spirit into the flesh, but to stay in the Spirit. Stay surrendered. Now, that's easy said, hard to do. You know why? Because of our sin nature. Oh, and our pride. Our pride, because here it is, someone's saying things. Their pride's like, they're not going to get away with that. Right? David was surrendered. It's not easy to stand for God. If you think about it, if we had, let's say you had a river or a creek or whatever it was, and it was going, flowing fast. And if you got in a boat or canoe, whatever, it's easy to go downstream. But it's hard to go upstream. This world is going fast downstream. And it's easy to do nothing, just to go right with them. God wants us to go upstream. And sometimes it is going to be hard. And can I tell you, you're going to have people that are flying by you and saying, you're going the wrong way. We're in the 21st century. And God is saying, you just keep on going. Amen? David stayed surrendered. Can I tell you, what we need as believers is people that have surrendered to God and saying, I know what I believe, I know what this Bible teaches, and I'm not changing. Oh, I hope and pray that would be you and me today. And look what we close out here in verse 111 and verse 112. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage. That word heritage is kind of like an inheritance, right? Forever. For they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform my statutes always, even unto the end. Can I tell you, there are some people in this world today that are looking to their earthly inheritance. There are some people who are looking to that. They have maybe some parents or relatives, grandparents, that are very, very wealthy. And they're looking forward to that day that they can get whatever, millions of dollars. Or whatever, even some people are probably looking for just getting a couple $100 or whatever it is. And it could rejoice their heart, but it's a result of someone dying. Amen? David said, the thing that rejoices him, thy testimonies have I taken as inheritance forever. Your word, the comfort they give me, the strength that they give me. I'm looking forward to your word. I'm looking forward to your promises. Your promises encourage my heart. I love it. Look what the Bible says over here to the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. As you turn to Hebrews chapter 12, I'll read that verse again. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. Look here what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12. David is saying, I'm going to keep on following you until you call me home. Until the end. Look what the Bible says here in Hebrews chapter 12, starting at verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. I believe he refers back to chapter 11. In chapter 11, he talked about those people that had faith and continue on for the Lord. Even those at the end talked about being martyrs. He goes on and says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience a race that is set before us. You're in a race. If you're a Christian, you're in a race. It's your race to live for God, right? It's not for your salvation. You already have salvation. But to stay in the center of God's will and just run for Him. God's telling us to lay aside the weight and the sin which easily beset us. And you just keep on running. And then He tells us this, where our focus is, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one who gave it. He's the one who saved you. He is the one who ultimately paid your sin debt. You keep your eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, on our God of heaven. Amen. Focused on Him, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For considered Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Now these believers were going through some persecution as Paul, I believe as Paul. God told Paul what to write. And in these first three verses, Paul's telling them, hey, lay aside that weight, right? Whatever's holding you back from running for God, the sin that's hindering you, and you just run as God has called you to run. Just run for Jesus, amen? And then keep your eyes focused on Him, and remembering what He did, the trials that He's gone through, as in He died for us, He suffered for us, He took our sins. But He saw the joy, because there was no way for you and I to go to heaven unless He became our sacrifice. And then in verse 3, what He's saying is this. For considered Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. Think about those when our Lord was going to the cross that tried to stop Him. The devil tried to stop Him. Right? Remember, on the way to the cross, you know, Hosanna in the highest. They wanted Him to be king. And the reality is, think about those that were lost were trying to stop Him. Right? Be king. You know, if Jesus would have been king that day, He would never die for your sins. We would have no hope. So you had the devil that was trying to get Him to sin. And you think about, the world was trying to stop Him. But even those that were believers, even though they did not even recognize it. Remember Peter, when the Lord told him that He was going to the cross, that Peter, do you remember this, Mark? Took Him to the side.
to try to tell the Lord not to? Do you remember that?
Contradiction, right? What was it? Our Lord continued on. Thank God that He did. He didn't allow the devil. Yes, we know He was God, right? He didn't allow those of lost. He even allowed those that were believers to try to stop Him from going to the cross to die for our sins. And what He went through and suffered is nothing compared to what you and I will go through this life and suffer. And that's His point. Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Right?
You get to a place and say, I can't run this race anymore.
Look unto the author and finisher of your faith. Right?
You don't know what I'm going through. Look to the author and finisher of your faith.
You don't know what people are saying against me. Look to the author and finisher of your faith. And matter of fact, He says, verse 4, ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against Him.
You know what He's saying? Is believers that were here, you didn't become a martyr. He died for you. You didn't die yet. That's what He's saying in verse 4. You're alive. I'm alive, right? That's what He's saying. Amen? What was He saying? Whatever we go through is nothing compared to what He went through. And all the Lord is saying is, will you live for me? Will you at least live for me? God knows we're not perfect. He wants us to live for it. Just live for me. Stop going with the world. Stop giving in to compromise. Just live for me. How many here today would say, you know, Lord, I want to live for you. I want to live for you no matter what comes my way, but I want to live for Jesus. Father, thank you for this opportunity to preach and teach. And Lord, I pray that would be in our heart, that we in our heart would say, I want to live for you. Help us to live for you. Help us to stand up for what is right. Help people to see you in our lives. Lord, help you to live through us, that we can be a light in this very dark world. Lord, that they would see our good works and bring glory to you. I pray, Father, that you would just work through us today for your honor and glory. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name.